وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah on you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the khidmat of deen from you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Am hasiba alladhina ajtarahu as-sayyi'at an naj'alahum kalladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihat. سَوَاءٌ مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. Continuing with the discussion on the various Sahaba-i-Kiram, today we have the opportunity of discussing the qualities and the personality of Hazrat Sayyidina Tamim al-Darir radiyallahu ta'ala an. His name is Tamim, al-Dari is his attribution, and his father's name is Aws ibn Harija. He presented himself with his brother Na'im before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 9th year of Hijrah, and he embraced Islam. He used to perform Tahajjud Salah a lot. He was performing Tahajjud Salah one night and was repeating a certain verse again and again. He continued in this way until the morning. He would go into ruku and sajda and cry profusely. The verse which he was reciting repeatedly was, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءٌ مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Do those who have earned evils think we will make them equal to those who believed and did good deeds, so that their living and their dying will be the same? It is an evil claim which they make. He had a very imposing and handsome appearance. He was the first person who started relating stories after having obtained permission from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He had a special garment which he would wear on the night in which that there was hope that it was Laylatul Qadr. After returning from Medina Munawwara, he remained aloof from everyone and lived a life of asceticism until the end. He passed away in the year 40th Hijri and was buried in Bayt Jabrun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his grave. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an. His name is Uwaymir. His kunniyat is Abu Ad-Darda and his father's name is Zayd. He had the honor of embracing Islam in the second year of Hijri. He used to say, I take an oath in the name of the being apart from whom there is none worthy of worship. When any person felt secure from his iman being snatched away from him, it was certainly snatched away from him. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. A person should constantly be in hope and make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to keep his iman safe. I am ordering you to do things which I myself did not do. I am doing this in hope that I will also get the rewards when you practice on them. This was to demonstrate his humility that he made statements as such. Then he said, contemplation and reflection for a short while is better than 40 nights of worship. He also mentioned leniency in one's livelihood is an indication of a person's intelligence. It is better to bear the scolding of one's fellow brother than to sever ties from him. He also mentioned, if you only knew the events which would take place after death, You will not be able to eat and drink with relish. I wish I was a plant which is broken and eaten. Such was the fear that they embodied within themselves, within themselves, regarding the accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, I saw people who were leaves without any thorns. He's giving a description. But now people have become complete thorns with no sign whatsoever of any leaves. So there were people who had a lot of good in them and maybe no thorns at all. But now is the direct opposite. He says that they're full of thorns. The greenery of goodness is very little. And he says, those whose tongues are moist with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala will enter paradise while they are laughing and happy. He says, we laugh before some people, but our hearts send curses to them. In other words, we display a different face and we have a different idea and concept about that particular person. Sheer hypocrisy. When your fellow brother commits a sin, abhor the sin, but do not abhor the sinner. When he gives up the sin, he is your brother. He also said, an excellent place of worship for a Muslim is his house, which safeguards his tongue, private part, and eyes. In fact, in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned that a person must stick to his house like the mats of his house to be saved from all the fitnas that are out there. And he said, Umar Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if I become needy after your demise, can I utilize charity? So Abu Darda replied, no, you should rather earn with your hands and eat of your earnings. If you are unable to work, you must pick up the spikes of wheat and suffice with that. Then he also said, a person cannot be a man of discerning intelligence as long as he is not intensely displeased by his nafs for his disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. There is no part of a believer's body which is more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than the tongue. It should be protected so that it does not cause a person to be cast into the hellfire. He also stated, when any change and waywardness develops in your fellow brother, do not abandon him. This is because if he becomes wayward at times, he also has the capability of coming onto the straight path. It was a practice of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, Imam Nakhai rahmatullah alayhi, and a group of scholars not to sever ties with the person because of his sins. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and his wife, Ummu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anha, says, I sought worship in everything. I did not find anything more satisfying and better for the heart than the assemblies of zikr, the majalis of zikr. People would come to her, engage in zikr, and she would join in as well. Regarding his demise, he passed away in the year 23 Hijri. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him. Now we'll be discussing Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala. His name is Ammar. His kunyat is Abdul Yaqzan. His father is Yasir and his mother is Sumayya. Stories concerning his abstinence, piety, striving, endeavors, steadfastness, and firmness on the truth are well known. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Suhaib ibn Sin'an radiallahu ta'ala embraced Islam together. He relates, I saw Suhaib at the door of Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam and asked him, why have you come here? He replied, first you tell me why have you come here. I said, I want to meet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and listen to what he has to say. So he said, I came with the same intention. They both entered together and embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala and his parents also embraced Islam at around the same time. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala was an outsider who had no one to support and help him. He did not possess any worldly authority and prosperity. In addition to this, his mother, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was still a slave woman of the Banu Makhdum. Despite all this, he did not conceal his Islam for more than a day. This is why the idol worshippers imposed various torments on him. They would make him lie on the hot midday desert sun and scald him with burning embers. Despite all these torments and tortures, the idol worshippers could not divert him from Islam for a single moment. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anha's mother, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was martyred at the hands of Abu Jahl in a very sadistic manner with a spear. This was the first martyrdom in the history of Islam. His father, Hazrat Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anha, and his brother Abdullah also lost their lives after suffering numerous torments. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with all of them. On one occasion, the mushrikeen, the polytheists, immersed Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the water to such an extent that he lost control of his senses. While in this condition, they imposed on him to admit to certain things, just as present-day enemies of Islam are known to resort to such forms of torture. He then presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cried profusely before him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "O Ammar, what happened to you?" He replied, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was not released from the tortures of today until I made certain statements against you and said some good things about their gods." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "What do you experience in your heart?" He replied, "My heart is satisfied and tranquil with Iman." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped off the tears from his face with much affection and said, "Do not worry. If a similar situation presents itself to you, where the enemy are wanting to torture you, because of your Iman, you must respond in the same way." So the following verse of the Quran was then revealed. "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil Iman." Whoever rejects Allah Ta'ala after having brought faith, except him who is forced to do so, while his heart is at rest in his faith. So these people are excluded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their iman because of the situation they find themselves in. So the above verse was revealed with reference to Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Muslim al-Ummah, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Wasiullah rahmatullah alayhi used to say that Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala practiced on a concession and thereby presented an excellent example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Ummah, so that one could adopt it in similar circumstances of necessity. On the other hand, his mother, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, practiced on determination, which is known as azima, and displayed another sunnah. She remained very, very steadfast in spite, you know, of the torturing and the persecution of the enemies until she became shaheed. Both ways are established from the sunnah and can be adopted according to the need. He was martyred in the Battle of Siffin in the year 37 Hijri and was 99 years old at the time. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of emulating these great Sahaba-i-Kiram and learning from them, you know, their sacrifices, and also follow the profound statements that they made, directing us towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.